be part of the conversation, send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Time is 12:11 here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. It is time for our daily focus feature with Pastor Blessed Kabo. He's on the line. Pastor, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. How are you, madam?
I'm very well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm doing fine here. Sure.
Amen. Before we get into our conversation, can we open with a word of prayer?
Sure, we are praying. Our God and our Father, who dwells above in heaven, we want to thank you this time that you've given us, Lord, to share and learn from your word. We invite your presence to the Holy Spirit that you may teach us, educate us, Heavenly Father, for the purpose of our salvation and the salvation of others that need to hear from you speak. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. Right, we are getting into our conversation and we are looking at controversial beliefs under the topic that says controversial doctrines and church unity. Churches often find themselves divided over controversial doctrines, sometimes to the point of splitting. But is disagreement a death sentence for unity, or can it be a catalyst for deep faith and understanding? Let's explore how congregations can navigate doctrine differences between while staying united under one mission, glorifying God and making disciples. So my pastor, my first question is that how can churches address controversial doctrines without causing division?
Okay, thank you so much. The question is a very important question that is supposed to be, you know, understood clearly, especially nowadays where we find that controversial doctrines have divided churches because of people having different views and understanding of the Word of God and doctrines. Now, what we need to understand is that the issue of a controversy or doctrines does not just begin today, but it has existed even from the time of the early church of the apostles. So there's what I will explain 3 points particularly on this issue, which will help the church, you know, to address these controversial doctrines without causing divisions. Number one, the church should understand and focus not on the part of winning the argument or the discussion, but on the part of understanding. There is a word called ecclesiology, or it's a study of the church, its nature, structure, and role in the world. By studying the church, understanding its nature, its structure, and its purpose of existence, it will help church members and the church at large to understand what they should focus most. I can say that most of the time we find that as the church, we major on minor things that are not salvific, forgetting about major things that the church exists for. The purpose of the church is to preach the gospel. The center of the church is Christ himself. So the church should have that Christocentric focus, focusing on Jesus Christ, because he is the center. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. All doctrines that are being built are supposed to be built on the basis of who? Jesus Christ. That's the first point that I would love to expand. And the second point is that the church must build a foundation authority based on scripture alone.
Sure.
When we read, I remember yesterday I emphasized on the book of Luke chapter 24, where Jesus Christ meet Cleopas and his friend from Jerusalem going on their journey. And then Jesus Christ on verse 27, he explains to them or expounded the word from the Old Testament, from the book of Moses. from the Old Testament, the Torah. As he explained everything, pointed to him, he expounded the word. That's where I mentioned where the word hermeneutic comes from. The study of what? The word of God, according to how it explains and what is it is talking about.
Right.
So from this, the church should have that foundation, which is built on the authority of the scripture and the scripture alone. We also see it from Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2, that Jesus Christ had promised the disciples to say they should wait, should be in one accord, they should wait for the Holy Spirit before they do it. They go and preach the gospel. All this was a foundation of the early church. They were in one accord, they sat and they prayed, and then they were given the mandate to go and preach, the authority which came from the Holy Spirit. Then the last point that I also want to expand is that the church should build a solid biblical hermeneutic. A solid biblical hermeneutic. What we should understand is that when we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the Apostle Paul says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we should understand that the word of God is infallible in doctrines and morals, and it is inerrant in science and history, meaning that the word of God cannot err, cannot make a mistake. And when we understand, we will not stand with our views, but we will stand according and build according to what the word of God is all about. So in addressing controversial doctrines, as the church, we need to take these steps and understand where our church is coming from, what is the purpose of the church's existence, what is our mission, and where are we heading to. By understanding, we'll be able to navigate through doctrinal controversial issues that may exist and be.
Wow, beautiful and powerful, Mfundisi. Thank you so much. What role do church leaders play in fostering unity during theological disagreements?
Okay, on this one, I just want to bring in the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 1. There is a narration or an issue that the apostles encountered, because it was also an issue of, we can say, doctrinal issue. There were some in Jerusalem, some Pharisees who stood and argued that the Gentiles were supposed to be circumcised before they accepted in the church, and they were supposed to follow the laws of Moses. And because of this argument, we see Paul and Barnabas goes to Jerusalem, and they were explaining, trying to, you know, give testimonies on how God has worked in the lives of the Gentiles, the outsiders, when they accepted Jesus Christ. But one of the Pharisees, or part of the Pharisees, stood and argued against Paul and Silas and Barnabas, and saying that these people are supposed to do what? To be circumcised for them to be accepted. So from this we see that on verse 6, the same book of Acts 15, verse 6, the Bible says, the apostles and the elders gathered together to consider this matter. So the point that I'm bringing out is that the role of the church leaders, they are supposed to do to come together on matters that are controversial and try to discuss and find out important things, or be as a guide to the church on which role or path they are supposed to take. So number one is that the church leaders must be united. And then number two, they should give testimonies on their experience and how God is working. Because after this discussion, as the apostles came together, the Bible says that Peter stood and explained his experience with Cornelius, how God worked. So the Holy Spirit was working and trying to teach them. But because of some Pharisees, they were working against what the Holy Spirit and God was communicating. So the leader should have that testimony to clarify or to guide the church on how God is working. They need to be prayerful and they need to be united to work together, so that they achieve the goal of bringing the church together on matters that are doctrinal.
Wow, powerful.
I also, Sure, I will also explain one from the historical background of how the General Conference began and the Bible Conference, which was held in 1888, 17th October. We'll discover that in this Bible Conference, which they had misunderstandings and quarrels in and discussing the Word of God and building the doctrines of the Church. And for this reason, some left the church because of that, because of differing in understanding. But after that, there was another meeting which was held in 1848. And this meeting was a success because it was guided by prayer, earnest prayer and study of the Word of God. It was also guided by the spirit of prophecy, of which Sister White was part of this church, or the building of this the church. She was shown some visions about some differences they had and the way which they were supposed to follow. So number one, what I'll say is that the church is supposed to engage in prayer, serious prayers, and earnest study of the Word of God. They also need to consider what does the spirit of prophecy says on some subject of matters that are doctrinal. By doing that, it will help the church to do to draw together and as leaders to bring and foster the spirit of unity in theological disagreement. I love what Sister White says. She says that on that particular time, what they used to do is that they could spend nights in prayer. When they reach at a disagreement, they could give chance to each one to go back and research and study, come back, discuss, and sometimes spend nights praying together, seeking guidance from God on the path they are supposed to take. So as leaders, they need to foster that. We need to be prayerful, united, and also teach people to study the Word of God, to study and understand what God really wants. Sure.
Amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. How can church members practice humility and respect when they disagree on doctrine?
Okay. As church members, it's very important to, have a teachable spirit, to understand that no one is an island. No one has their own knowledge and understanding of everything. The disciples, after Jesus Christ ascended and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit, they humbled themselves. In other words, they emptied themselves so that Christ could fill them. So we need to humble ourselves as church, as church members, and accept that we know nothing unless God fills us with the Holy Spirit and guide us. They also need to seek God in prayer, so that the Holy Spirit will help in understanding what God really wants. Because Jesus said to the disciples, when the Holy Spirit comes, it is going to help you to understand many things that you are failing to understand. So as church members, we need to develop that spirit of humbleness, the spirit of having a teachable spirit, learning from others, and also inquiring from those that are our leaders who know much more than we know. Sure, that's what I can say on this passage.
Amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. When, if ever, it is appropriate for doctrinal disagreements to result in church separation?
On this one, particularly, I can say that the issue of church separation shouldn't exist in any time. There's no appropriate time for a church to divide and separate. But by all means, we should pray, and by all means work together that we can build the church of God in a united manner, even if there are some differences that may be there. But the goal should be Jesus Christ and the mission of the church.
Wow. Thank you so much for that. And last one, Fundis, before I let you go, how can focusing on Christ help congregation navigate contentious issues?
Okay. Particularly on this one, I will back up with a quote from Desire of Ages, page 296. Yeah, Sister White says, Desire of Ages, page 296 says, All the disciples had serious thought when Jesus called them to his service. Even John, who came into closest association with the meek and lowly one, was not himself naturally meek and yielding. He and his brothers were called the sons of thunder. While they were with Jesus, any slight shown to him arose the indignation and combativeness. Evil, temper, revenge, the spirit of criticism were all in the beloved disciple. He was proud, ambitious to be the first in the kingdom of God. But day by day, in contrast with his own violent spirit, he beheld the tenderness and forbearance of Jesus and heard his lessons of humility and patience. He opened his heart to the divine influence and became not only a hearer, but a doer of the Savior's words. Self was hid in Christ. He learned to wear the yoke of Christ and to bear his burden. The apostles differed widely in habits and disposition. There were the publican, Levi Matthew, the fiery zealot Simon, the uncompromising hater of the authority of Rome, the generous, impulsive Peter, and the mean-spirited Judas. Thomas, true-hearted, yet timid and fearful. Philip, slow of heart and inclined to doubt. And the ambitious, outspoken sons of Zebedee with their brethren. These were brought together with their different faults or with inherent and cultivated tendencies to evil. But in and through Christ, they were to dwell in the family of God, learning to become one in faith, in doctrine and in spirit. They would have their tests, their grievances, their differences of opinion, but while Christ was abiding in the heart, there could be no dissension. His love would lead to love for one another. The lessons of the master would lead to harmonizing of all differences, bringing the disciples unto unity till they would be one in mind and judgment. Christ is the great center, and they would approach one another just proportion as they approach the center, who is Christ himself. So in short, what I'm trying to say is that by beholding Christ, the disciples became transformed in the character and focusing on the will of Christ, which brought transformation, humility, and humbleness of life. So as Christians, focusing on Christ will help us to navigate issues that are doctrinal, will help us to navigate issues that may bring differences on us, because Christ is the center. And Christ being the center, the more we are drawn closer to Jesus Christ, is the more we be drawn closer to one another. And the more we are drawn closer to one another, we will not consider much of the misunderstanding and the quarrels, but through transformation that takes place in being at the feet of Christ and learning from Christ, we will help us to unite and work together and have one purpose and goal. Sure, that's what I can say on this one.
Amen. Thank you so much, my pastor. Can you close with the word of prayer?
Okay, thank you. We are praying. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for speaking to us in a special way, guiding us on how we are supposed to handle doctrinal issues, divisions in the church, how we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that you may pour the Holy Spirit, the desire to study, to search the scripture, and the spirit of humbleness that will help us to empty ourselves and allow the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and teach us the truth and the things that are supposed to be followed as a church. Heavenly Father, we also pray that you may help us at large to build together and know the mission and the purpose of church in measuring on things that matters, which are salvific to our lives and to lives of others that are lost in this world, than quarreling and having misunderstanding on small things that does not bring salvation to us. We pray through the Holy Spirit, King of Glory, be our guide and lead us together as a nation as a world and bring us together through your love and your mercy. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit with gratitude in our hearts. Let everybody say amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, my pastor.
Thank you. God bless you.
Amen. What a beautiful conversation. To our listeners at home, that was Pastor Blessed Kabo giving us a beautiful conversation about controversial doctrine and church unity. Right now, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we will be talking to Sister Kwako Serenje on our daily devotion. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.